Little Johnny had been misbehaving and was sent to his room. After a while, he emerged and informed his mother that he had thought it over and then said a prayer. "That's great," said his obviously pleased mother. "If you ask God to help you not misbehave, he will help you." Johnny replied, "Oh, I didn't ask him to help me not misbehave. I asked him to help you put up with me." Prayer is one of the most fundamental and crucial keys to success for us as Christians. You don't need to turn there, but 1 Peter 3:12 tells us that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Brethren, we simply must keep the lines of communication open between ourselves and our Creator if we're to make it into God's kingdom. You know, when we study our Bibles, God speaks to us, and when we pray, we are speaking directly to God. Both of these activities are essential to building a strong relationship with our Creator. However, today I'd like to focus on the subject of prayer. You know, you may never have thought about it, but none of us are born with the innate ability to properly pray to God. Let me say that again. None of us are born with the innate ability to properly pray to God. Amazing as that sounds, the fundamentals of prayer are in fact a discipline that must be learned. You don't have to turn there, but we read in Luke 11:1, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" So Christ's first disciples understood that they needed to be taught acceptable attitudes and disciplines for effective prayer. Brother, so do we. You know, there are numerous principles that could and should be explored on this topic, so I encourage everyone to spend some independent study on the subject of prayer. However, today I've chosen just a few elementary points to review. So the title for this message is 5 Keys to Effective Prayer. I know that much of this will be review for us. However, review is good, especially when it comes to the subject of prayer. And one thing I've learned over the years is that it's easy to fall into bad habits and let down in our prayers to God. So that being said, let's look at a few basic elements of prayer. Number 1, pray regularly. I think we all understand that God wants us to make prayer a regular habit. So how often should we pray? Well, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we're told to pray without ceasing. Does this mean that we should pray without a pause all day, every day? No. It simply means we must make prayer a regular and consistent function of our lives in order to stay close to God. So again, how often should we pray? Well, the simple answer to that question is as much as needed. However, that being said, we do have some excellent recorded examples which can serve as good guidelines. You know, King David is described in the Bible as a man after God's own heart. So what was David's example? You don't have to turn there, but in Psalm 55:17, David wrote this: "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." So David's habit was to formally pray 3 times a day. Now let's look at another example. If you would please turn to Daniel 6. Daniel 6. And we'll read verse 10. It's Daniel 6 and verse 10. It says, "Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." So both David and Daniel's custom was to formally pray to God three times a day. How about us? Are we reaching out to God in similar fashion? Are we have we slipped into the notion that we simply are too busy to stay in touch with God through regular prayer? Brethren, God instructs us to pray to Him regularly and without ceasing. So let's make sure we're taking the time to regularly connect with Him. Point number two. Pray with all your heart and soul. Pray with all your heart and soul. Brethren, if we're not careful, we can fall into the trap of simply going through the motions in our prayer life. I don't know about you, but on more than one occasion, usually when I'm tired, sleepy, or just not feeling well, I've caught myself simply going down my list of topics without truly putting my heart and soul into my prayers. However, God expects more from us. In fact, God expects us to be both mentally and emotionally invested in our prayers. You don't have to turn there, but James 5, verse 16 tells us that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So our prayers are to be effective, which is the overall point of this message, but they are also to be fervent. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines the word fervent as exhibiting or marked by great intensity of feeling, zealous. Brethren, we must put our emotional being into our prayers and not fall into the trap of simply, as the saying goes, phoning it in. Perhaps the greatest example of fervent prayer comes from Christ Himself, just prior to His crucifixion. Let's look at this in Luke 22 and verse 44. It says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Have any of us here ever prayed so fervently that our sweat became like drops of blood? Probably not. But this example is clear. Christ is our mentor, and we should strive to follow His example by sincerely putting our whole heart and soul into our prayers. Point number three. Pray with persistence. Pray with persistence. Sometimes, even though we've asked in faith and according to His will, God does not always give us the answer to our petitions of prayer right away. Perhaps God wants to know if we are sincere about our request. Perhaps He is testing our faith. Or perhaps the timing is simply not right. Does this mean we should just give up asking? Certainly not. If you would, please turn to Luke 11, and we'll read verses 5 through 8. So Luke 11, 5 through 8. And notice here that this section of Scripture is part of Christ's response to the disciples who asked Him to teach them to pray. And it says, "And He said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, "Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you." I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." So let's look at another example, just a few pages ahead in your Bible, in Luke 18, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Then he," speaking of Christ, "spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, 'There was a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming," or persistence, if you will, "she weary me." Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said, and shall come, and shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them?" So we see, brethren, in these examples, persistent prayer can and often does pay off. Point number four. Pray with proper motivation and attitude. Pray with proper motivation and attitude. I know this will come as a shock, but at this point, none of us have attained perfection. Yes, even though we are in the process of conversion, sometimes our human nature still gets in the way. When this happens, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves praying with a wrong motive and/or attitude. You don't have to turn there, but James 4, verse 3 says, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Brethren, selfish gain is an improper motive for prayers. In fact, we as Christians should strive to be selfless in our prayers rather than selfish. Do we pray for our needs before we pray for the needs of others? You know, sometimes the way we go about our prayer life can reveal a lot. What about our attitude? Are we humble before God, or do we think more of ourselves than we should? If you would please turn to Luke 18 again. Luke 18. We should be close. Luke 18, we'll read verses 10 through 14. Christ speaking here, it says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Brethren, we need to always examine our thoughts and intentions when we pray, because our motives and attitudes are very important to God. Point number five, pray for God's will to be done. Pray for God's will to be done. Once again, I know this will come as a shock to many of us here today, but believe it or not, we as human beings do not always know what is best for us. Subsequently, we don't always know exactly what we should ask for in prayer. Fortunately, God understands this and has given us some help. You don't have to turn there, but Romans 8, verse 26 says this, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Brethren, God knows all things, and He always has our best interests at heart. That being said, sometimes the things we pray for are not in the best interest for either ourselves or even other individuals for which we may be praying. So when we pray, we should always ask that His will be done in all matters. Let's look at this in 1 John. 1 John 5. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. It's 1 John 5, 14, 15. It says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." So here we find that God will grant our petitions if we ask in faith, and they are in accordance with His will. However, sometimes the things we ask for may not fall within His will at the time. In this case, we must trust that God is always working out all things for our good, no matter what His decision on any particular situation. As stated before, God knows all things, and sometimes His answer is no, as was the case with Paul's thorn in the flesh. You don't need to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 and 9, concerning the thorn in the flesh, Paul says, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart with me, and He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" Paul understood that it is best for God's will to be done in all things, because He also knows what is best for each of us. So when we pray, we should always pray for God's will to be done, and like Paul, be willing to trust and accept His decision without bitterness, no matter what happens. Brethren, King David, in Psalm 5:2, wrote, "Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray." King David was a man who understood how to properly pray to God. In fact, many of his prayers are recorded throughout the book of Psalms as examples for us today. Brothers and sisters, let's work to follow David's example and grow closer to God through effective prayer. The five key elements we explore today can help us to do just that. So let's all endeavor to pray regularly, pray with our heart and soul, pray with persistence, pray with proper motivation and attitude, and pray always that God's will be done in all things.